the sixth chapter.
Just a few moments, we'll read a couple of verses from there. Good evening and welcome. It's good to see you. Glad to be back with you this evening. I want to begin this evening by pointing out that I kind of jokingly chided our elders this morning about having no real firsthand knowledge of social media and asking me to address both the positives and the negatives of that. I want to make it clear that I agree that there are things of which we need to be aware. And one does not have to be personally involved in something to be able to ascertain that there are dangers inherent within it. And I appreciate our elders for requesting this particular topic and allowing me the opportunity to speak on it. As we noted this morning, social media can be used positively and has benefits. But as was also stated in part one of this two-part lesson, this is only so when we use it thoughtfully, when we use it deliberately with consideration and vigilant effort. We have to be discerning of good and evil, and also discriminating, as we noted from Romans, the 12th chapter and the latter part of verse 9, that we should abhor that which is evil and clinging to what is good. But what we must not do is allow social media to use us. Look with me at Romans 6, verses 17 and 18, where Paul says this to the Romans: "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and have been freed from sin, and having been freed from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness." What he's saying here in these two verses is predicated on the 16th verse. So back up. "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness?" To change metaphors just a little bit, we have to be sure that we're driving and controlling social media rather than being driven and controlled by it. We can use social media for good ways, for good reasons, to good purposes and results. But we can allow it to use us if we're not careful, by being led or influenced away from faith rather than using social media to lead others to faith. And make no mistake about it. Social media can be a cruel master and will use us, especially if we are naively ignorant or weak in our faith. It will use us to do primarily three things. We're going to talk about some dangers in a few moments, but I want to identify for you and have you think with me about three different things that social media will use us to accomplish. Number one, it will use us to multiply misinformation. It will use us to spread false narratives and outright lies, whether they are unintentional or whether they are deliberate. In Philippians, the fourth chapter in verse 8, it lists things on which we are to think. And the first thing listed is those things that are what? True. Those things that are true. Social media has a way of multiplying misinformation and things that are not true. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in the fifth chapter in verse 25 and says, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood..." I like that term, falsehood. It encompasses more, and the idea and the context here encompasses more than just saying something that is untrue. Any teenager, of which we've all been one, has probably spoke the truth in a deceiving way to their parents. Mom or dad asked, "Where'd you go last night?" We tell them all the places we went that we know are approved. But what do we omit? We neglect to tell them the other places that we went that we know that they would disapprove. So everything that we said was true. But we said it in a deceiving way. I think that's what Ephesians is talking about here in chapter 4 and verse 25. Did I say 5 earlier? I'm sorry if I did. It's chapter 4, verse 25, when Paul says, "Laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." We have to speak truth. Facebook will use us. Social media and tweets and all other forms will use us to multiply misinformation dramatically. Secondly, social media will use us to spread gossip. Understand that gossip is not necessarily something that is false. It may be or it may not be. But whether it's false or whether it's true, gossip is at its essence something that shouldn't be said, something that shouldn't be spread. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 29, as well as our list that we went through this morning from 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 3, gossip is listed right up there with the other big sins that we might, as we might classify them. Those passages include gossip along with these other evils, regardless of how we may, in our own minds, dismiss it. How easy it is to click, to share, to comment, and to further propagate and spread gossip. Social media will use us to do that. Here's what you do, whether it's face-to-face or through social media. Respond in these words or words to this effect: "That's not something I think I should spread, and furthermore, I don't think you should either. Period. End of sentence. Leave it alone." Thirdly, social media will use us to promote that which is unwholesome. Back in Ephesians, in the 4th chapter, drop down in that text now to verse 29. Those who are professing faith in Christ not only have no business listening to or originating or passing on that which is not fitting, we don't have any business passing on that which is not wholesome or kind. Read these verses with me, beginning in Ephesians 4 and verse 29, where the text says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth." May I interject there, or emanate from your fingertips? "Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice." Social media makes it oh so easy to promote unwholesome, those things which are not fitting, from the language of Ephesians 5 and in verse 4. Those things which are not wholesome, which are not kind, or which lack grace. Social media makes it easy to multiply misinformation, to spread gossip, and to promote that which is simply unwholesome for anyone, especially for the child of God. But as I said before, I try not to let social media use me. to do those things, to multiply misinformation, to spread false narratives and outright lies. That old gossip grapevine has no more potent modern equivalent than social media. We got to cut off those tentacles, those vines of gossip. There is much that is on social media that is indeed unwholesome, especially if you don't discriminate, as we talked about this morning, whom and what you allow into your feed or into your stream. Those unwholesome things will stream into our minds and feed our hearts if we let them. If we don't control and utilize social media as a tool for our purposes, rather than allowing it to use us as a tool for its purposes. Use social media for good and don't let it use you for evil. But now I want us to think about some things that you may or may not have considered to be dangers that are associated with, and other things that social media seems to encourage, perhaps more than other media. It encourages audio, visual, and phone addiction. Please do me one favor. At least turn off the notifications and check your account occasionally when you are alone, rather than allowing it to constantly interrupt the face-to-face contact and the face-to-face conversations you have with people that are present in your presence. And I know that's redundant. I meant it that way. Just because that device, whether it's your computer, whether it's your tablet, whether it's your phone, just because it rings or chimes or dings or vibrates or does whatever it is that you've set it to do, plays whatever song you've got it set to play, does not mean that you have to get or check that device then. Present people need to take precedence. In that connection, notice Philippians 2 for just a moment. In Philippians, the second chapter, think about these words. We've read them many times, but think about these words relative to our addiction to this audio-visual stimulation that comes largely through social media. In Philippians 2, and in verse 2, he says, "Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit." When you're having a conversation with someone and that phone dings or chimes or vibrates or whatever, and you say, "Oh, wait just a minute, let me get that." And it's somebody posting a new cat video. What does that say to the person that you were just talking to and with whom you were having conversation? It says to them, "You're not as important as this." Yes, that's a pet peeve of mine, but it also, I think, underscores how addicted we are to these things. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 again. "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. And do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." The next time you're sitting across the table from someone, engaged in conversation, or you're talking to them, and your phone goes off, understand what message you're sending to the person with whom you were conversing. I understand sometimes there are business calls that we're obligated to take. I get that. But that's not the bulk of them, is it? Secondly, social media seems to encourage self-promotion. We can easily become addicted slaves to likes and to shares and to comments and to retweets, although I don't know a lot about Twitter. And in doing so, we can become people pleasers, at least an internet version of people pleasers. Your esteem, how you value and view yourself, needs to come from within based on who you are and what you are in Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22 talks about us having confidence and our heart not condemning us when we're in Christ and we're keeping His commandments. Your value, your self-esteem doesn't need to be coming from how many friends you have on social media or how many likes or retweets or anything else that you get. It needs to come from here. In that connection, notice Luke, the 6th chapter, and verse 26, just the first part of the verse. I've got a lot to cover this evening, so I'm trying not to spend too much time in any one place. In Luke 6 and verse 26, Jesus taught His disciples, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you." Popular on Facebook, are you? Why? We can easily become promoters of self and start allowing ourselves to be influenced toward things that will gain us popularity on social media. Social media tends to encourage self-promotion. Number three, social media also encourages false self-images. I really worked on that phrase. False self-images. Because it goes in two directions. First of all, let's be honest. Tell me about your profile picture. Does it really look like you? Or has it been digitally remastered through the wonders of filters and Photoshop? Do your friends not recognize the picture that you, the people that actually know you, by the way, not your virtual friends? Do the people that actually know you recognize that picture that you posted as being you? Or do they? I've actually looked at pictures of people that I knew and could not recognize them because they were so enhanced and filtered. I've said this before, you know, people talk about, oh, the camera puts 10 pounds on. I don't know about you, but it's not the camera, it's the fork for me that does it. Have a picture up there that looks like you. You want people to see the real you, not some edited version of you. So it encourages false self-images that we put on there. Likewise, how does how you describe and talk about yourself and your life and your et cetera, reflect reality on your social media feed? Or is it merely a virtual reality of you that only exists in that virtual space? Let me ask you a question. Knowing what you know about what the Bible says about hypocrisy, Matthew 7, the first 5 verses, for instance, that'll work. Isn't hypocrisy pretending to be something that you are not? Oh, it's just harmless fun. Is it really? When you portray an image of yourself, pictorially or verbally, that is not an accurate representation of who you really are, you're pretending. Some have edited their online pics and profiles so much for so long that they create, in order to create a different image online, that they actually become deluded about who and what they are in the real world. James chapter 1, verse 22, talks about those who delude themselves. We can start to believe our own press if we're not careful. Social media tends to encourage those kinds of false self-images. Fourthly, social media tends to encourage
prideful boasting.
Social media often easily becomes a competition to see who can post, whether it's real or enhanced, the best boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, family, children, vacation, home decor, vehicle, ad infinitum. Oh, look at what my husband got me for Valentine's. Think long and hard about what we're really doing. It may be completely innocent. And you may be trying to brag on your spouse, but if you have to use social media to brag on your spouse, you're bragging to the wrong people. Talk to him. Talk to her. Don't present it to the world showing everybody, look what I've got, what a great spouse, what a great wife, or what great husband I have. Talk to them. Strengthen your relationship and the world will know about it. You don't have to brag. There are very few places in the text, and I want you to think about this. You go do some research on your own. There are very few places in the text, Old or New Testament, in which the word pride is used in a positive way. Now you think about that. How proud we are, and how much we talk about how proud we are of our blessings. How blessed we are. And I'm sure that's true. But why are we utilizing it and talking about it the way that we are? Is it prideful boasting? The other side of that is we can even boast about how bad we've got it. I had the worst service at some restaurant. Been there, done that? The construction is so noisy at my house. Yeah, that was me last week. I deleted it. Felt bad about it. But why do we do that? Either the best or the worst. Why do we do it? It's because we're boasting, which is another word for bragging. And do you understand that in that list that we looked at from 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2 this morning, the third and the fourth items on that list, right behind lovers of self and lovers of money, was boastful and arrogant. On perhaps a somewhat related point, social media also seems to encourage flattery. I mean, some of us are just begging for compliments. You look at some feeds, go to somebody's Facebook page, and you see more pictures of them than anything else. And what are they doing? Oh, does this look good on me? How's this new hairstyle? How's this? How's that? They're begging for compliments. Now, there may be some other deep-seated emotional problem behind all of this. But when we're begging for compliments, we're going to have friends on social media that will accommodate us. They'll tell us what we want to hear, whether they really mean it or not. Facebook tends to encourage that kind of flattery. And when the Bible talks about flattery, most often it is in two connections, especially in the New Testament. Look at Jude 16. You can also look at 2 Peter chapter 2. In both occasions, flattery is used by people who want to take advantage of you, specifically false prophets, false teachers, that want to flatter you for their own purposes. Think with me also how that social media encourages, for lack of better terminology, the worst in us. Perhaps it's because of the ease and the rapidity with which we can respond on social media. It seems to promote sarcasm, harshness, hypercriticism,
negativity, cynicism, derision, scorn, and general disdain. Why is that? It may be unpleasant for us to hear, but go back with me to Luke, the 6th chapter. And Luke chapter 6, this time verses 43 and following. Listen carefully to the words of Jesus. He says, "For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit." Everybody in the world today tells you that's not true. "Oh, I do this and I do that occasionally, but I've got a good heart." What does Jesus say? Good trees don't produce bad fruit. "Nor, on the other hand, a bad tree produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit." If you are known online for sarcasm, harshness, hypercriticism, negativity, cynicism, derision, scorn, and general disdain for everything and everyone, what is that telling you about your own heart? Don't do those kind of things online or in person and then tell everyone else, "Oh, I've got a good heart." No, you don't. And neither do I. If those things are characteristic of us, if those are our fruits, then we don't have a good heart. We're not a good tree. We're a bad tree with a bad heart, because we are producing bad fruit. Verse 44, "For each tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush." Listen closely to verse 45. "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of evil treasure brings forth that which is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." Remember, we talked about that competitive aspect of social media? It seems like there's a competitive aspect of social media with regard to brutality. Sarcasm, negativity, cynicism, all of those things seem to be magnified. And maybe it's because, as I think it was Chuck Baker pointed out to me this morning, the previous forms of media, print, audio, and visual, we really didn't have access to as far as contributing to them. We were recipients of those forms of media, but we really didn't contribute to them. Now, with social media, the whole world is opened up to us. We can tell everyone on the planet, theoretically, what we think, how we feel, and how do we do that? With good fruit or bad fruit? It tends to bring out the worst in us, perhaps, by making it easy to be all of those things. Social media also seems to encourage misunderstanding. I once joked about a sister in Christ that she could misunderstand more than any person I knew. And it was true. She still holds the record in my book. She was an educated woman, had degrees in psychology. And you could make a simple sentence, and if there was possibly a way to misunderstand or misconstrue it, she would find it. She has a lot of trouble with social media, and I think has finally quit using it altogether. But whether it's a text or a posted message or a picture, misunderstanding can and does happen, and it seems to be encouraged. Think about a picture. How can you misunderstand a picture? Well, an energy drink can looks a lot like a beer can, doesn't it? And if we're not careful, we can jump on there because of our negativity, because of our hypercritical nature, and start berating someone who may just have an energy drink in their hand. Which may have its own sort of problems. I don't know. You be the judge of that. But I'm just trying to make the point that these misunderstandings are much bigger on social media and seem to occur more often. I think there are several reasons for this failure to communicate, which is kind of ironic since media is about communication and This social media seems to promote more misunderstanding than it does understanding. But there are several reasons that I want you to think about for just a second for this failure to communicate. I would put at the head of that list practical illiteracy. Few of us anymore can actually express ourselves accurately with words, especially if we have to spell them. And social media encourages that, doesn't it? We abbreviate everything, and you got to know the code to be able to communicate at all. Additionally, there's a lack of nonverbal clues inherent with typed rather than face-to-face conversations. Don and I saw a neat thing today. I didn't notice it until she pointed it out. No, it was yesterday. It was yesterday, walking into the store. Yes, I went with her to Joanne's. I don't do it often. I did do it yesterday. I deserve credit for that. See, I'm bragging and boasting again. Should have posted that on social media, shouldn't I? But as we were walking in, there was a lady sitting in a car, and she was using her phone for FaceTime. I never really liked that until I saw what she was doing with it. She was using sign language to communicate with someone who was obviously deaf. So that now that person could communicate via a cell phone. That's good. But most of our social media communication doesn't have those kind of verbal clues that we are so dependent upon to understand nuance, expression, intonation, and meaning. Typed words don't have that. When you speak to someone face to face, there's far much less chance for misunderstanding to occur. We have become Olympians at jumping to conclusions. And that helps with the misunderstanding that social media seems to promote. Lastly on our list here, and I named this one reclusive anonymity. Let me explain. I will. Social media does allow one person to become somewhat or altogether reclusive. It allows that. We can retreat into our, I don't know why the basement is always the room for that, but we can retreat into our basement and just hibernate as some sort of recluse, only venturing out through social media outlets. But remember how God created us and what He said about us. And that means both sexes in Genesis 1 and verse 18. He looked at Adam and said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a woman as his helpmeet." Now that talks about both sexes. It's not good for either one of us to be alone. We were created by God to be social creatures. And becoming reclusively anonymous does not fit that social purpose that God had and created and instilled within us. It just doesn't. Furthermore, we have, as Christians, divinely inspired obligations to assemble and to collectively worship with and to encourage and stimulate one another in other ways. That's what Hebrews chapter 10 verses 24 and 25 is all about. We talk about don't forsake the assembly, but that's only a small part of what those two verses are talking about. It's talking about spending contemplative time figuring out how you can stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We can't do that through social media alone. We can't become hermits and make those obligations and meet those obligations. And while we're talking about that, please, please do not attempt to reclusively reprove in private via text or social message a brother who has sinned against you. You go talk to him. If it's not a big enough deal for you to go talk to him, then forget about it. If he's actually sinned, you need to go talk to him because his soul is in danger. If he's just hurt your feelings, you go talk to him about it or forget it. But Matthew 18 and verse 15 says, if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. He wasn't talking about via text message. Go manifest to that brother your love and concern for his soul. Up close and personal. It'll change the way you think about what you're going to say. It will change how you respond to him in what you say. But social media does not provide anonymity. I know some of you think that it does. And you can withhold your picture or you can give a false name. But your post and your comments assuredly revealed you to the world. Your thoughts, your emotions, your biases, your loves, your hates, your prejudices, and your proclivities or tendencies are there for everyone who looks to see. Either good or bad, they're there. And once you send them out, they don't go away. You can delete them from your computer. You can't delete them from everybody else's phone. So I want you to take three conclusions with you. There are other things that probably should be discussed, but I'm more than out of time. Three conclusions I want you to take with you. Social media can be a tremendous tool, either for education and encouragement or for misinformation, misunderstanding, and discouragement. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11 talks about the importance of us encouraging one another. It can be a tool for that. We talked about that this morning. Use it that way. Secondly, never text or tweet or message or post anything privately that you wouldn't say publicly and face to face. If you wouldn't say it face to face, don't say it via text publicly or privately. If it is something that you need to say to someone privately, do so face to face. That'll change how you think about it and how you present yourself to them. It'll change how they receive you. But once you send something out, even if you meant it to be private, it can be easily become public and probably will do just that. Once you send it out, your control over that message ends. Thirdly, you are presenting yourself and your view of everything to the world through the use of social media. Be sure that it's the image that you ought to project as a child of God. I want to close with one passage from Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, and I'm done. Therefore, be imitators of God. Before you text, tweet, post, comment, like, is this something God would approve, God would say? And walk in love just as Christ also loved you. Is this walking after the lineage of Christ? Are we being true and faithful to our spiritual husband in our use of social media? Yes, there are positives. We talked about those this morning. I think that we can use social media in a positive way to bring about good and to further the cause of Christ. I've seen it evidenced in my own life. But we have to be vigilant. We have to be diligent. We have to be careful, discerning and discriminating. Otherwise, rather than using social media for God's purposes, social media starts using us for Satan's. Be careful. Next Sunday morning, both of these lessons have been aimed and directed toward adults. Next Sunday morning, we're going to talk about social media and children, and then hopefully I'm done with social media. We said something tonight that's pricked your heart, educated your mind in ways that lead you to conclude that there's something that you need to do to make your life right with Christ, whether coming to Him in baptism or coming back to Him in repentance. We can help you. We will. While we stand and while we sing.